Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy, the show that talks 100% LA Galaxy soccer. We're glad you could join us. Now it's time to sit back and relax as your hosts navigate through the twisting, turning, but never boring world of the five-time MLS Cup champion LA Galaxy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm your host, Josh Gessman. Glad to be with you once again on a Thursday night, live from Corner of the Galaxy Studios. A little bit earlier on the time than we normally go, but my son is in town, wanted a little more family time, so we're going to try to get this done a little bit early, for your viewing pleasure, of course. Got a lot to talk about. The LA Galaxy coming off a 3-1 victory over the Colorado Rapids. A great game for the LA Galaxy. Got to rest some people. Jack McBean scores a brace. We're going to be talking about that a whole bunch. Then, of course, the LA Galaxy getting ready for Sporting Kansas City coming up on Saturday. That's the number one team in the Western Conference coming in and challenging the Galaxy, who have, I believe, the league's worst home record. So that should be fun to look at as well. We have some LA Galaxy news as well, some Gignac rumors, and anything else we can, of course, throw in there will be just that much more fun. Joining me for today's show, in studio, lucky enough to have her here, is Miss Britt Pertnell. Britt, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
Yeah, I know. This is fun. So Britt was in the area whenever I sent out the SOS that, of course, I couldn't find a co-host at 5:30 because it's a little early. And she said, well, I'd rather not sit in traffic. So I think that's how it went.
Yes, exactly like that. Actually, I'm in training around here and I didn't want to sit in traffic for 2 hours like I did yesterday.
Yeah, so it works for me. It works for everybody. So we get to talk some LA Galaxy, and of course the LA Galaxy coming off of a 3-1 victory in Colorado, maybe a little surprising, I guess. Let's put it this way. I'm going to call out a bunch of you on Twitter who all said the LA Galaxy were, of course, going to lose as soon as you saw the starting lineup for this team in this particular game. And some changes for Kurt Anolfo, some things that we kind of, you guessed at. I mean, these are things that you'd have to understand, you know, might be a thing, might be something that would happen, that type of thing, whenever you look at how many games the LA Galaxy have, and of course, how many games they still have to play. And so Kurt Anolfo makes four changes. You got Yella Van Dom back with the middle, which we knew we were going to have. He was suspended for the Houston game, Britt. But, I mean, what are your initial thoughts now on what the LA Galaxy were able to do against Colorado at altitude, 91 degrees of kickoff, all these things working against them, young team? What were your thoughts?
I mean, I wasn't terribly surprised because, I don't know, I've been paying attention to them on the road for the last how many games, right? But player rotation, Kurt said several times, how many games, Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. So it was really important to rotate through. Yella is available again, so of course he was going to be in the lineup. And Roman Alessandrini being benched to start the game wasn't that big of a deal either because he gets tired and he gets an extra day off recover. So a Wednesday, not start or Wednesday start from the bench isn't that big of a deal either.
No, and we've talked so much about how much effort he puts into all these games, and Kevin rightfully so tweeted at the beginning, you know, he's been dealing with a groin injury, or at least a groin discomfort. I don't know if we call it an injury because it certainly hasn't kept him out of any minutes, so it's good to rest him. I certainly don't think that Kurt rested him because of that. But it seems like that he rested him because he had the opportunity to rest him, and that's probably a positive thing. But the big thing that we have to take away from this game is the young guys playing. Kurt Anolfo made four basic general substitutions. We talked about Yella Van Dom coming in for Hugo Arellano, who was probably not going to start anyway. He got knocked in the nose. It could still be broken from what I've heard, but that isn't quite the case yet. And so what we end up having is Yella Van Dom goes into the back line, but up top you had Jack McBean, who got the start. Jose Villarreal ended up playing as his partner, even though perhaps we thought he would play underneath Jack. They played more of a basic 4-4-2 than maybe lots of people thought. And then you had Jaime Villarreal filling into the midfield for Rafa Garcia. So there was lots of things that sort of happened. Jack McInerney on the bench, not getting any playing time in this one. I don't know if anybody's surprised about that. After the game against Houston, didn't really show all that much. But what I think is the most important takeaway from all of this is that the LA Galaxy, comprised largely of LA Galaxy 2 guys or academy products or homegrown players, however you want to put it, the younger core played an unbelievably good, attractive game that got them a ton of sort of confidence and going forward. There was combinations, there was all sorts of things. This is what you have to do whenever you're going to play younger players, is you play them all together. These guys sort of look like they were used to each other.
Right. I mean, it's definitely a comfort level there. It's not like any of this is new for any of them, especially with Kurt Anolfo, with with the Villarreals, with Jack McBean. They've had a lot of time together. So for them to show cohesiveness on the field isn't really a surprise either. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as surprised about this game as everyone else is.
I mean, you still have to look at it and go, they were young, though. I mean,
they were young. No, it's a big deal.
And you should also preface, or maybe I should preface this by saying that no strikers have scored goals.
Right.
So it's not like you could sit there and say, oh, well, you know, this team's definitely going to come out and score some goals. And they ended up scoring three goals, and all three goals created by younger products. You had two goals from Jack McBean, the McBrace, as they're calling it. One of them scored with the Jack heel, as they're calling it. That one's too much for me.
Yeah,
that one borders. That one's. I try not to say it, but
I'm a fan of puns, but
that was too far. A step too far for sure. But you had Jack McBean scoring two goals. You had Jose Villarreal, who probably should have drawn a penalty kick in the very first couple minutes. Which I think Chris Penso was the referee. Chris Penso leaves me scratching my head more than most referees. And then you had a great play by Bradford Jameson after he comes on as a substitute to sort of draw the penalty kick as well. So I mean, those are the things that you look at and the things that we go at in looking at this game. But you have to also look at guys like Nathan Smith, who played, and I think he played a perfectly unspectacular game. It was whatever. They did. They had some penetration back there, surely. Ashley Cole again played great. I made the joke that the LA Galaxy, we always argue about who the LA Galaxy's best goalkeeper is. The answer is Ashley Cole. All right.
Agreed.
It's not even close as far as I'm concerned. He seems to be the guy who's sort of always right there. So, I mean, I think we learned a lot of things. Who are you most sort of surprised by, or at least satisfied with in this game?
It would have to be Jack McBean. I mean, not having a goal in, 4 years in MLS? I mean, not that he's been with the Galaxy first team the whole time, but I think for him to come back and be able to prove himself and get those two goals in a place where the Galaxy traditionally doesn't score a whole lot of goals.
Right.
It's a good thing for him and a good thing for the team.
Yeah, no, and I see that. I mean, the last time Jack McBean scored a goal was 3/17/2013. It was versus Chivas USA. They were still around, so that was nice. And he scored it against Dan Kennedy, who was calling the game for Spectrum Sportsnet on the night. So actually, that was Kevin Hartman. Dan Kennedy was in studio for Spectrum doing that. So it was just, it's kind of a nice thing. Also, Jack McBean, I don't know if you know this, Jack McBean's former roommate on the road was Pablo Mastroianni. Who was the coach of the Colorado Rapids. He also played with Dylan Serna, who just came back and had a really good game for the Colorado Rapids, if you saw that. So I think they played on the youth national teams together. There's all these sort of tie-ins. Alan Gordon's on the other side, and Jack and Alan Gordon are good friends. So, like, there's all these sort of things that were building to this eruption of goals. And the first goal that Jack McBean scored, caused by a turnover by Jose Villarreal. I know there's lots of people who think that I'm going to crap all over Jose Villarreal and build up Jack McBean, and I will tell you that's just not going to happen on either case tonight. Jack did exactly what I've been expecting him to do since he came back to Major League Soccer and after his performance last year in USL and on his loan and scoring all those goals last year. This is what I expected from him, so I have no problems with him doing that and scoring those goals. This is the expectation. This is the level that you should see from him. I thought Jose Villarreal played an excellent game. The pressure that caused the turnover right away, and then the great quick shot by Jack McBean. I think the intricacy in the shot is that if McBean waits even one touch on that Tim Howard gets to be set, and then he probably doesn't score the goal. But instead, a right-footed shot curling from the right to the left hits the inside of the post and goes in. The LA Galaxy winning 1-0. This after Colorado had two excellent chances to start the game and probably should have been up 2-0. So you could have looked at it that Jose Villarreal probably should have got a penalty kick in the very first minute, which would have put the Galaxy up 1-0, and that Colorado probably should have scored the next two goals, so it should have been 2-1, and then Jack McBean would have scored that next goal, and so it was 2-2. So at this point, it should be 2-2, but instead it's 1-0. That's just in my mind how I sort of remember this. I know.
Alternate reality Josh games.
Somewhere in one universe, that happened exactly that way. Just remember that. That's sort of the thing. I thought Joao Pedro played really well.
I agree.
He had a couple turns on the night, and not even to mention the setup that he had with Jack McBean. But he had a couple turns away from pressure that I thought were just perfect.
He's getting a lot more comfortable in this league. I think a lot of people gave him slack to begin with, but I think that he wasn't given the proper time to adjust. And I feel like he's a lot more comfortable, and he's getting used to the people around him as well.
Yeah, he seems to be settling. I'm even used to his hair now. I mean, everything is once I get used to the hair and just that's Joao out there. I thought he played well. I thought that Jaime Villarreal played okay. in the center. So that was fine. The one person who I thought didn't play very well at all and only showed me one little tiny itsy bitsy little point of anything was Giassi Zardes. And that continues to be the question, is when is Giassi going to get going? And he almost got going whenever Bradford Jamison was fouled inside the penalty box, a penalty that Bradford created all himself. Giassi Zardes definitely could have scored that goal, because he did. He put it in the back of the net. They just had called a penalty kick at the time. So, that's sort of... I mean, I don't know if there's a better sort of play that tells you how Giassi Zardes has been going this, is to see his face after he scored, only to realize that it had already been called back and it was a penalty kick.
So disappointing.
Well, it is, and I know people want to get him... Some people said, hey, maybe you should have let Giassi take the penalty kick. Right, and I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. You have a guy who can't hit the broadside of a barn. You're trying to ice a game, okay, and you're going to let him take the penalty kick. No, let Ramon take the penalty kick. He seemed like he, and you saw the cheeky way that he takes the penalty kick too, straight down the middle out on Tim Howard.
But there's no way for him to get used to scoring goals without scoring those goals.
Work for it and make it happen.
Has that worked so far?
No, but that's what has to happen. A lot of these times, like, again, I'm very much for, if a ball ricochets off of him and goes into the goal, that will get him going. So it's not like I'm saying that he has to do all the work, but you can't just be like, dude, you suck so bad right now. Let me hand you this ball because you're horrible. Everybody knows it. Tim Howard knows it. He's laughing at you right now. You go put one past Tim Howard, right? So,
I mean, it's happened in Galaxy history. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. The Galaxy aren't exactly great at penalty kicks, right? So let's not have the guy who, like, will launch one into row Z land somewhere in downtown Denver. Let's not have that happen, especially at altitude. You never know where that ball's going to go. So
it's just going to keep going.
Forever and ever. So, but yeah, so that's, I mean, that's sort of the thing, is the Giassi Zardes was really, for me, the lone sort of bad player on the team. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, do you bench him? Is it time to bench him, Britt? I mean, is that where we're going?
I mean, who else do you have, though, to fill that spot?
Well, I mean, you could put Bradford Jamison in there.
Yeah,
you could let him play. Because I'll tell you this. Zardes looked better than he has looked because he played on the wing, and that gives him more time to be running with the ball forward. I'm better with that. But I certainly don't think that he drastically improved because of that positioning.
And where are we on this stomach bug that he had last week that caused his game from Saturday to be the way it was?
It's, again, I mean, yeah, he seems to be the most unlucky person in the history of unlucky people. He's had stomach bugs. He's had, obviously, the broken bone. And it may just take him a really long time. I think up to a certain point, the Galaxy have to play him.
Right, I agree.
And I think that's going to tick a lot of people off. I think that he starts again. I mean, I don't know that I've reached the point where I'm saying, okay, lost cause. Because how can you do that for a guy who has shown promise? I mean, he scored goals last year. He's never going to be the 2014 sort of guy that scored a bazillion goals. And he had Robbie Keane giving him the ball. He had Landon Donovan giving him the ball. I mean, these were set up for him to succeed. And that's not where it is right now. He's not set up. He has to be somebody who creates. He can't just be a finisher.
Right. And I feel like we've had similar conversations about Gio needing help as well, and so maybe it's just this dynamic of the team that they're all kind of adjusting to one by one, which is excruciating for people to watch, but they're slowly adjusting to not having the caliber of help that they used to have, where they have to become the help.
You know, that's sort of the thing with the young guys, though, that I really like, which is the fact that those guys didn't care. I mean, they went out there and smacked Colorado in the face. I mean, that's what happened. The second goal was the perfect example of all the hustle and hard work that everybody put in. Joao Pedro breaking towards the touchline, gets a ball, goes through three Colorado defenders. Just so pretty. Right. Steps one, two steps gone, gets to the end line, cuts it back. Jack McBean with sort of the backheel flick, which he has done, I want to say, four or five times in USL. That is his goal right there. I've seen it many times, and it was perfectly executed. That's what you want to see. I think if you're anything but ecstatic with the way that the LA Galaxy played over this particular game, then there's something wrong with you. I think it also goes a long way to prove that Kurt Anolfo and what he accomplished down at LA Galaxy 2, I don't know that he gets enough credit for it, because you saw those kids. The main reason those guys played so well, Bert, is because they knew each other. you can't throw that many young players who haven't played together and have that type of success if they haven't already done that down at LA Galaxy too. You think that's fair?
I think it's fair that, yes, they are comfortable with each other. They know how each other plays. But I wouldn't say that like the league that the Galaxy 2 plays in is anything close to MLS. And so it's not, I mean, it's definitely risky to just move this whole group of kids up to this level and hope that they work out. I mean, again, Anolfo doesn't have much choice in the matter because everyone's injured.
Yes, everybody is injured. I mean, and that's really what it comes down to, is that you've had to have injuries to four or five different players in order to get to the point where you're able to start all of these young kids. And whether or not it was desperation move or anything else, I don't think it was desperation. I don't think that that's what, you know, I don't think Anolfo said, well, I don't have anybody else, so I have to play. I think he put together a good game plan with those players. So, again, I'm not one that thinks he should get a lot of the credit for some of the stuff that has happened recently with his unbeaten streak. I think he's done well. I think the changes that he made, the benching to Yael Van Dam, I think the fact that Jermaine Jones is injured has helped him out dramatically, so I don't know. He can't get credit for that. He has done well with what he's had to deal with, and if you look at the injuries the LA Galaxy have had, I don't know that you can knock the team or him for sort of the results, even if you want to be really upset about the results at home, which I know everybody wants to be upset about, but they've played good teams at home and bad teams on the road, sort of. That's right. That seems to be what the balance is. So if that's what it is, I mean, how much credit do you give Cardinalfo for any of this? 8-game unbeaten streak?
I mean, yes, he did put the people on the field, but at the same time, I think that benching of Yael Van Dam was a big deal. And I mean, really, if anyone was empowered from that, it would be this core group that he's familiar with. So he put them together and he put them out there. So I guess I should be giving him more credit if I'm going to follow my own train of thought here. But
No, he's I keep wanting to give him credit. I keep wanting to. But at the same time, I also look at some of the individual plays and the fact that Roman Alessandrini has basically been involved in every goal the LA Galaxy have scored this year. He hasn't been involved in 17 of 24. I remembered it. 17 of 24 goals the Galaxy have scored, Roman Alessandrini has been the guy. And that is either ridiculous on its face, because that means that basically he's the only place the offense has come from.
I mean, he leads the team in goals, assists, and shots.
What more do you want, right?
Right.
No, so far I said in my game recap that, you know, but sometime by next week he'll have team MVP already locked up for this year.
Absolutely.
And now it's just a matter of whether or not he can get the league MVP, which, if he keeps scoring goals and doing things, I've looked at some of the guys who are scoring lots of goals. That's great. You got Nikolic over with Chicago, you got Dava Villa, and you've got all these guys. And those are really great to see those guys sort of, you know, scoring those goals. But you look at what the assists and some of the other things, and Roman Alessandrini, if you're talking about the most valuable player to a team right now, it's Roman Alessandrini, because it's not anybody else on the Galaxy.
I don't know if that's really a fair thing to compare him to these other players, because are these other teams being as terrible as the Galaxy has been at the beginning of the season? Like, it's easier to be a big fish in a small pond.
Yes, yes. It is easier to be a big fish in a small pond than a small fish in a big pond.
Something like that.
You got it. I think you're there. Don't worry. We'll draw a sketch or something. We'll get it figured out. But no, I mean, that's the sort of thing. Is Roman Alessandrini, even though he was sitting in this game, right, and even though he came on in the second half, and what did he do? He just sort of ran around with the ball and just kept it away from everybody.
Right.
He scores the penalty kick. Tim Howard, right down the middle, a chippy, cheeky shot, okay, and right. And that's great. I mean, if you want to see the guy's confidence and what has happened, remember, this is a guy who was basically run out of Marseille, okay? He was run out of Marseille by his home fans. He grew up around the club, it's his home team, and he gets run out of the team by his own fans. That's like if you went to your hometown. If you're at your hometown, you're playing in front of your hometown votes you off the island. They're all like, okay, you have to move out of your house, and you have to go because we don't like you anymore. All right. I know some of you probably had that happen to you, but I have not, and that sounds horrible. All right. And that's what happened to Roman Alessandrini. He is resurrecting his career. People are talking about him in the French national team picture again, which is ridiculous right now. Slow your roll, everybody. Slow your roll, okay? Boateng maybe could get an international call-up. You know, you're looking at all these different things. The guys who are playing great right now, I can name all three of the guys who are playing outstanding, perfect specimens of soccer. All right, let's see if you can, Britt, can you guess all three of my choices here?
Okay, so I mean, Alessandrini.
Okay, that was easy.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, you just said Boateng.
Okay, yes, too. So who is the third person? He plays defense.
Ashley Cole.
Yeah, Ashley Cole. Ashley Cole is a stud. He is a stud. I love Ashley Cole. He has been absolutely everything that the Galaxy could have possibly ever wanted. I can't believe at one point I was like, no, don't sign him. That's a bad idea, because I thought they were going to use like DP money on him and stuff like that. And why would you want to do that for a defender? That makes no sense.
His beach comments were the things that made me the most upset, where he's like, I'm not ready to go spend time at the beach or retire at the beach.
Retire at the beach, yeah. But in context, he was talking to like Italian reporters. Well, I'm not. Hey, I'm here at Roma, guys. I'm here to play. You don't understand. If I put you in the same situation, where, hey, Britt, you're coming to Roma, all right? Hey, so what do you think about MLS? You're probably going to be like, oh, MLS? No. It's all about Italy, guys. Italy, I'm here. I'm ready to play. I mean, is that not a reasonable thing? I hate it when guys get sort of, you know, pigeonholed. You're going to say stuff like that. But then he comes out here and he spent time at the beach, all right? I guarantee you he's been at the beach.
I don't doubt he went to the beach, Josh.
I'm sure one or two trips to the beach. Wherever, I don't want to go where Ashley Cole goes to the beach, because it doesn't seem like it's very restful, because the guy is 36 years old, 37 years old. He's so old I've stopped counting, because he's one of the only guys who's older than me on the team. So it's just sort of like, hey, dude, you and I, we're like the same age. We're close. So it's one of those where it's just, I'm constantly amazed that... that he's able to perform. He's kind of like DeMarcus Beasley, if you want to sort of put another thing in there. I mean, would you think that that's a fair comparison? What do you think of Ashley Cole and the way he's played?
No, I think he's an impressive player. He's definitely gone beyond my expectations of what I was expecting when he came in, and I think that he's like just supporting. I think that it was really important for the Galaxy to have that kind of mentor, especially with all the younger players, and for him to step up and kind of take that role and take a few of the younger players under his wing is really important for this team that's had so much turnover, that's lost so many big names in the offseason.
Yeah, and there definitely were a lot of names that went away, and now you have the LA Galaxy, who seem to be finding just a little bit of stride. I don't want to blow this game out of proportion. It's not something that is crazy. I mean, if you look at where Colorado sits, you're looking at a team that is at the bottom of the Western Conference, but they were on a three-game winning streak at that time. So you caught them. You did what you were supposed to do. Again, another win on the road. Crazy win. I don't know. I think Portland did this one year where they were really good on the road and couldn't win at home. And it's one of those things where it doesn't last in the playoffs. I'm okay with it right now, but if you go into the playoffs thinking that you're going to win games on the road and not be able to do good at home, you don't get out of the playoffs. It's like San Jose whenever they were doing all those crazy comebacks, you know, the
Bash Brothers.
Yeah, the Bash Brothers, yeah. And Goonies Never Say Die, right? You know, all that stuff. That year where they went up against the LA Galaxy and then they got knocked out because you can't keep trying to come back.
It's not sustainable.
No, it's not. And this is not sustainable. This road winning thing goes against everything that anybody has ever known about Major League Soccer. You can't win on the road and lose your games at home and be successful. But the reason that they're anywhere near fifth in the Western Conference right now is because they're winning on the road, which is kind of crazy, because they certainly couldn't do anything in terms of winning at home. They're very bad. And hopefully that changes whenever you look at Sporting Kansas City coming up. That's going to be a ridiculous tough game. It's one of those games we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. One of the other things I wanted to talk about is Clément Diop, who I have said was responsible for both goals against Houston, had a much, much better game, made one big save, which I think frustrated everybody, because you look at that and say you can't stop an easier shot from DeMarcus Beasley in the Houston game, but you stop this ridiculous Dylan Serna shot that he had to come across the goal and tip up over the bar, and somehow you're able to make that happen. I don't pretend to understand how it works. I'm not that smart, but I will tell you that Ashley Cole is the Galaxy's best goalkeeper, Brian Rose probably second, and then Clément Diop is third, and then John Kempen probably fourth, although you could flip-flop Kempen and Diop with me sometimes. I still think Diop's very athletic.
I think that he prides himself in those big saves. I think that he's more about the flashier saves, the bigger saves that are going to get more attention, but when it's a little bit, I don't want to say easier, but a little bit like more textbook shot, that it's not quite as easy for him as some of those other shots may be.
Yeah, no, I could see that for sure. If you want to get in on the conversation, you have any sort of comments or questions about the Colorado game or anything about the LA Galaxy that you want to ask us, please feel free to give us a call at 734. That's close. 949-734-4217. 949-734-4217. We'd be glad to take your calls. We did have some calls, so let's get to a couple of those real quick. Let's see. Let's get to our first one here. It's 323.
This is Jose from Huntington Park, and I think you have better connections than I do at the Galaxy and at StubHub. And I think this Saturday home game, we should change all our banners to Sporting KC banners, have the scoreboard read visitors, LA Galaxy, home, Sporting KC. This way we could get a win at home, away or at home.
All right. So we got that one. Here we got an actual live phone call as well. So let's see. Of course not. No, why would we want to do that? That sounds like a horrible idea. So let's not take the call that just got dumped whenever I click the button. So I guess that's my life right now is that I'm going to click a button and then people are not going to pay any attention. So if you're calling in, let's see if we can do this again. Who's this?
Hi, this is Julio calling from Japan.
Hey, Julio. Thanks, buddy. How's it going in Japan?
It's going great. What? It's Friday, almost 10 a.m.
See, sometimes I just want to fast forward ahead. I want to come hang out with you so that way it can already be Friday at 10 a.m. So that way I don't have to go through Thursday night and Friday morning.
Yeah, but Monday comes early for us.
I'd fly back then. I would just jump ahead and then fly back. I would skip Mondays at all costs, however else I could do it. What can we do for you, Julio?
I just wanted to say that I was totally wrong about Kurt Arnolfo. I thought he just wasn't up for the job, but somehow, you know, after he benched Yella Van Damme, he somehow was able to, you know, get the respect of the locker room. And I just need to hold my hand up and just admit I was totally wrong about him.
You know, I don't know that you were totally wrong. Listen, first of all, I don't think you were wrong to criticize him. So don't be hard on yourself on that. And I wouldn't be hitching my trailer to his bandwagon just yet. I still think that there's a long road to go for this Galaxy team, and he could still definitely falter. Now, I like Kurt because I've watched him coach at LA Galaxy, too, and whether or not that qualifies him as a Major League Soccer coach, I'm not 100% sure. But you look at what he did with the young kids. You look at what he's done in this 8-game unbeaten streak. You look at what he's able to do with this team on the road, and whether you want to give him credit for that or not, he's still the coach in charge of these guys on an 8-game unbeaten streak. And it's not just like a totally ridiculous, hey, you won one game and tied 7-game, you know, unbeaten streak. It's a 4-0-4. So you won 4 games, you drew 4 games. Some of these teams are good. Houston was good. Colorado was not. You should have beat them. All right. There was some. But you won some games that you should have won. You drew some games that you probably should have won. But you didn't really. Okay, the last one against Houston, you stole. All right. You should have lost that game and you won. So I mean, you know, do you really think? One, how much credit do you really want to give Kurt for all this? Or in your mind, is this more the players stepping up?
Well, I'm not quite sure because pretty much it's very difficult to watch MLS in Japan. So I'm not quite sure what to make of the comeback. But just based on, you know, what I'm hearing from the show, what I've been reading, it seems like the players, their attitudes have changed. So I'm not sure who to give the credit to.
Can you watch MLS live there? Can you like proxy server into the US in order to watch MLS live?
I probably could, but I'm not sure if I should try that.
Well, I don't want you getting arrested or anything like that. You know, I just wanted to know is there any MLS games on in Japan?
Supposedly there are, but I'm not quite sure because you know reading a TV guide in Japanese is like impossible for me. So.
I don't know how. I think maybe you should start an LA Galaxy fan group over in Japan. I'll tell the LA Galaxy that you want to start one of those. Let's see if we can get one going for you over there. For sure, you can start the Corner of the Galaxy fan group over in Japan. I've deemed you the president, so congratulations. Go grab a whole bunch of your friends and start listening to the show. But Julio, thanks for calling in, buddy. I always appreciate it whenever you leave us messages, and I'm glad that you're able to enjoy some LA Galaxy and have a wonderful Friday, even though we're still stuck here on Thursday.
All right, thank you.
All right, take it easy. All right, Julio from Japan. Again, this show caters to people who are like not here because it's a form of entertainment they can actually get that doesn't cost them any money. So I get that, but I always think it's really, really cool to actually reach out and talk to somebody who's in Japan that's a Galaxy fan. So Julio, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Let's get to another call that we had, Britt, if you're good.
I'm good.
Okay, good. Just wanted to check. Let's get to this one. By the way, I do want to go back and say, you know, the guy who called in before, because I don't think he left his name, but he's saying, you know, you should change all the banners to,
right.
Everything's Sporting Kansas City, visitors. What else? I mean, how far could we take this?
I mean, you can make them go to the visitors' locker room.
Yes, that's a good one.
Put them up in a hotel the night before. have them bus in.
That's a good one as well. Make them train on a field that's not theirs, right?
Right, at like UCLA or like some sort of college campus nearby.
Yes, I like all these ideas. So
someone forget like an extra jersey, like
yes, this is good. Yellow Von Dom, make him mad because he's not in LA. I think that might be one of those things that happens as well, that sort of comes in. So all good stuff. All right, let's see. We have another call. I believe this is Aaron from Riverside. Let's see if I got that right.
Hey, Josh, this is Aaron, formerly from Riverside, now in Colorado Springs. What a game. I just got to give a special shout-out to Jack McBean. Even off the ball, he was playing so hard, working really hard. I'm glad to see another away victory. Hopefully they can do it at home.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate that call. Aaron, I think, went to the game. He was there in Colorado Springs. He drove up for the game. I'm pretty sure I saw him on Twitter there. He was one of the guys who got high-fived by Clement Diop in pregame. So good stuff from you there, Aaron. Appreciate the call-in. And glad you have a special shout-out to Jack McBean, working very hard off the ball. Again, you guys can keep building up Jack McBean all you want. I'm just going to sit over here and just keep smiling because I don't want to say I told you so. That would be small and petty of me, so I won't do that. Let's see. We got one more call. Let's see if we can get one more. All right, let's go. Let's go to Adam, I believe, in Hawthorne.
Hey, Corner of the Galaxy. This is Adam from Hawthorne, and I'm kind of at a loss. I'm usually a Jossie apologist, but he just can't seem to find his way into games this year. While he really hasn't been the same since he was getting service from the likes of Donovan and Keane, he really isn't fitting in and syncing up with the rest of the lineup. Alisson Drini, Emma Boateng, Gio, even Drow, and tonight McBean seemed on the same page, but not Jossie. It looks like Anolfo is desperate to get production out of him, which probably has a lot to do with the almost $600,000 he's getting paid this year, which is, you know, Jermaine Jones money. And so far, if Jones is healthy, he plays. So I imagine whether it's from Kurt or the front office, Jossie's going to keep starting. McBean, of course, looked great tonight. Emma continues to create for us. Joao has found some rhythm, and Jameson looks good off the bench. But of course, Alisson Drini has to come in and show everyone he's a cut above. That man is exactly what we want from a designated player. So credit where it's due to the front office on that. Roman is an amazing signing. So thanks for all the work on the podcast, guys. Take care.
All right, there you go. Adam from Hawthorne, always good to hear. Some interesting takes on Giassi's artist. I will tell you, Adam, that Britt and I listened to your call before we actually started the show to sort of see what everybody was going to talk about. And we looked and said, $600,000, that sounds high. And you were right about correct. So 577, I believe, is what we came up with, Britt. So real close there. So yeah, I mean, there is something to this, okay? And if you're pretending that it's not a part of the game or not a part of the galaxy, then you're not paying attention. That if you make a lot of money, there is going to be some emphasis on you to play. AEG said that, hey, we don't want guys who make a lot of money and sit on the bench, Robbie Keane and Steven Gerrard. So that was almost $9 million. Now, it's not the same whenever you sit somebody like Jermaine Jones or like Giassi Zardes, a little less money. But these are guys who you're paying a lot of money because they need to be impact players, Britt. Jossie hasn't been that impact player.
No, I would agree. But at the same time, I mean, are there really the players that are making that much money? So proportionally, it kind of has to come down a little bit because like the big, big names aren't necessarily here anymore. So even that $600,000 is kind of a lot for what the Galaxy have been spending as of late.
I was going to say that, you know, that's actually a pretty good take on things. I didn't think of that to sort of compare it to. But if you go out and you get somebody who's really expensive again and you basically have the same payroll as you did whenever Steven Gerrard and Robbie Keane were on the team and you had Giovanni Dos Santos there and you had this gigantic payroll. If you go out and do that, does that then, you know, make you feel better about sitting Giassi's artist? I mean, ultimately, it's a huge chunk of one, your allocation, TAM money, you know, you're spending money on that player to get him under the salary cap. And granted, you get to write off, I think, $150,000 of it because he's a homegrown player. So that's great. So the first $150,000 is free. Then you have TAM that you have to use. So you have to use that to pay it down. So you're using a whole bunch of resources that are valuable resources. And that's very important in Major League Soccer because it's not always the designated player and how much money they make. It's the fact that they're taking up a spot. And to me, Giosi Zardes is almost taking up a spot because he's being used as a TAM player, and I could use that money on somebody else.
I mean, you can always use that money on somebody else, and no one's going to be disappointed if he starts doing well. But at the same time, it is nice to have that homegrown player type thing and that kind of focus. And of course, everyone is like kind of expecting him to be doing better. But like we said earlier, he's kind of unlucky right now. And I don't know, I'm still willing to give him a little bit of a chance to work his way through whatever this is.
Kurt, you can't bench him yet. All right, that's what Britt's saying. I think I'm there too. I think I'm right there. It has to start clicking. If it doesn't click, then you are losing a huge sort of part of what your team should be. Okay. And you're also losing any chance of selling this person. So if you wanted, there were lots of people who wanted to sell. My co-host, Jared Dubois, was one of the first people who ever said it. After the 2014 season, he said, sell Giosi Zardes now. Sell him now. People want him. Sell him, sell him, sell him, sell him.
Yep.
And it probably, if you would have done it, imagine how upset LA Galaxy fans would have been if the LA Galaxy would have sold Giosi Zardes after the 2014 season.
And then we would have come from like the future and been like, no, this is a good thing. You're okay.
That's not a bad idea. Come from in some alternate universe, yep. Giosi Zardes got sold and LA Galaxy fans were really upset. And then in another alternate universe, he got sold and they were perfectly fine with it. And it lies somewhere in between there. So anyway, Giosi Zardes is going to continue to be a topic of conversation for us here on this podcast, as you can probably expect, especially if he starts scoring thousands and thousands of goals, which everybody expects him to do very shortly. All right, let's move on now to the LA Galaxy and some news for the LA Galaxy. If you went on cornerofthegalaxy.com, you may have seen an article, or if you were following us on Twitter at Galaxy Podcast, you may have seen a tweet that was talking about a certain player from Liga MX, that is Gignac, playing down in Tigres, a Liga MX star, really, really good player, a guy who is 31 years old. He's a striker. He's sort of that classic up-top striker, although I've certainly heard reports that he could play on the left side as well. He's majority right-footed, so he's an up-top kind of guy. And what do the LA Galaxy need right now? An up-top kind of guy. So the rumors of everything else that you've sort of heard, you heard about Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and of course, we've told you that the LA Galaxy say they have no interest or that they're not pursuing Zlatan Ibrahimovic at this moment, all right? That came from me, came from Kevin Baxter, so you can check that one out. You can also sort of check out some of the other rumors that came out. There was a goalkeeper. I think Ospina was being rumored to the LA Galaxy, and that's just ridiculous. I told you guys it was ridiculous, and we actually had to go. Kevin actually wasted his time to go to the LA Galaxy and ask them whether or not Ospina was on their target list, just for all of you people who thought that that would be a good idea. And guess what? No. They're not interested, all right? That sort of seems to be another one. We do know the LA Galaxy are looking at players. We talked about Jovan Karofsky and some of the places that he possibly has been. We talked about some of the visits that possibly he has made. We didn't know who they were targeting, but we thought perhaps there was somebody. I talked to Chris Klein after Saturday night's game against the Houston Dynamo, which I think I sort of went over on the Monday night show, but I asked Chris Klein, whether or not they were going after Dario Benedetto or whether they were going after Cristiano Ronaldo. Those seem like those were Cristiano Ronaldo would only cost like $300 million if you wanted to bring him here. So I'm sure AEG has that money, Britt. No problems. So I asked him and he didn't have any comment on that. But, Cristiano Ronaldo, he rolled his eyes. All right. Everybody does. And I understand that. So that's fine, too. So we still didn't know who they were going after. It broke sort of on from a website named Metro that perhaps the LA Galaxy were going after Gignac of Liga MX. This was a rumor that had started back actually like a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, after Gignac had come out. They lost the Liga MX final. He was upset because he said that the Mexican press always writes lies about him, and he said that maybe if they weren't careful, he was going to go ahead and leave Monterrey. He was going to leave Liga MX and go somewhere else, and this sort of started to disperse some rumors. Giving you this background because I can tell you that the LA Galaxy are interested in Gignac. We don't know what level that interest is in. We don't know whether or not an official offer has made. Metro reported that the LA Galaxy supposedly made an offer of $6 million to Tigres for for Gignac. All right, now that seems like it might be a little under market value. Tigres has rumored to say that they want possibly more than double that. So let's say $13 million. And then I had a source who talked to me that said that money maybe as high as $25 million would put it out of the range of LA Galaxy or AEG likelihood. All right. Not saying AEG doesn't have that money, by the way. Just saying that it's not likely that they would spend that kind of money. There is interest there, though. And I don't want anybody to be hung up on the amount of money right now, because I don't think that the amount of money that they're thinking, $13 million, let's say it's $13 million, is reasonable. But I don't think it's far off. I think, and I talked to one of my good friends, John Arnold, who is the Mexican correspondent for the Mexico correspondent for Goal.com. He's really smart with CONCACAF. He really follows Liga MX. He's my Liga MX expert, and he does a great job with stuff. And sort of was trying to feel him out. And he says that he thinks there's a lot of work to be done. He thinks that the LA Galaxy are going after Gignac. Now, we had some interesting stuff that sort of came out today that we talked about Tigres and Gignac, and the Tigres president basically saying that the French striker was in California to visit Disneyland and with his family. All right, so that's why he went to California. We saw him in Instagram photos, Britt, with Ramon Alessandrini. I didn't know if you saw that or not.
I did.
Okay, so he was there. They were former teammates at Marseille. They had 1 year that overlapped in 2014. So just before Gignac transferred to Tigres in 2015, they played for a year at Olympique Marseille. So they know each other very well, which is an interesting little tidbit to all this.
I tweeted during the last game that's why Alessandrini didn't start is because he was talking to Gignac about the contract.
Genius tweet as a normal. I don't know if that's true, but I like the idea of that. But here's what the Tigres president said. He said, "The press keeps talking. We are flattered by all the teams interested in our players. For the fans, you are relaxed. We have not received any approach or anything for Gignac. We've had nothing official from Major League Soccer." All right. Major League Soccer would be the negotiating arm in terms of getting Gignac. So just him saying Major League Soccer, not LA Galaxy, I don't want you to panic or anything like that. But if you read the last part, is the best part, is that we've had nothing official from Major League Soccer.
Right.
Yeah, so that's sort of, if you're asking me for the likelihood of this happening, I'm going to tell you that it has a decent chance. I know for sure that the LA Galaxy are interested. I've told you that before. I have heard from a source that they may have even had visits with his agent. All right, so there's stuff going on here, and I don't think anybody is really ready to sort of throw the cards down, but I think Tigres is playing every card that they have right now and saying, we want this much money for him. We want as much money as we can get. They don't have a ton of options with him. They move him now in the summer, all right? They either move him now in the summer, they move him in the winter, or they get nothing for him because it doesn't look like he's ready to sign another contract with them. And his contract is up, I think, June 1st or June 30th of 2018. So basically they have a full year from right now to get something done with him.
And now would be a good time because he's had such a great year.
He's had a great year. He's getting a little older. He's 31. So to them, it might be time to offload. For the LA Galaxy, if you can get Gignac, a proven goal scorer, a proven winner, a guy who had brought, you know, two Liga MX titles to Tigres, a guy who got them to, I think, one final, you know, one CONCACAF Champions League final. You know, he scored a ton of goals. He's done a lot of things. This might be the guy. In fact, when I was looking at all of the options, and we've talked about Dario Benedetto, who at 27 is a younger option. He had some time in Mexico. He didn't like where he was. He ended up buying almost himself out of the contract in order to go back home. So that makes me a little nervous where, like, if the guy doesn't, you know, it isn't, he's going to go back home. So that's not with Gignac. Gignac is basically an adopted Mexican at this point. They love him so much. He speaks French. He speaks Spanish. I think he speaks some English as well. So if you're looking at dropping him into the LA Galaxy, all these things seem to fit. And it makes sense for me that the LA Galaxy would attempt to sign him. Not saying that that's going to happen, but all signs right now are pointing to the Galaxy making an attempt on this. Whether or not they're successful, yeah.
I mean, it would make sense to find someone to complement your best player at the moment. Someone who your best player is comfortable with, has time with, and considers a friend, right?
And you have to think that also sort of goes to not just Ramon Alessandrini, but also Giovanni Dos Santos. I mean,
right.
I don't know that they know each other, but certainly the fact that he played in Liga MX, someplace that Giovanni Dos Santos had never played, there's still like the Mexico connection there. You feel like that they would be okay with each other. I don't know. Maybe that's me peering into it.
I feel like that's kind of a reach, but I think that Gio would definitely appreciate some help up top.
Yeah, and that's certainly, he's a good player. He's somebody you could bring in. People are balking a little bit at his age, 31 years old. this is not like 35 years old.
Like, that's young for a Galaxy DP. Like,
it seems like it. I mean, he would be older than Roman Alessandrini, right? So you're there. He's older than Giovanni Dos Santos. Okay, I get it.
Historical Galaxy DP.
He would be as old as Yella Von Dam. Okay, so that to put it in perspective, you think Yella Von Dam is ready for retirement? I don't. It seems like Yella has three or four.
I'm not talking current designated players. I'm talking
past.
Any
Steven
other
Gerrard.
Yes.
Steven Gerrard. And then Robbie Keane as he got older. But not Robbie Keane when they signed him. How old was Robbie Keane whenever the LA Galaxy signed him? Off the top of your head, I have no idea. I can't remember.
I want to say 32.
Yeah. So this is not unreasonable to think that Gignac could come in and make an impression on this LA Galaxy team. That's all I'm saying. Pay attention. I tell you when to pay attention to things, everybody. I'm telling you to pay attention. The LA Galaxy could be going after Gignac right now. I don't know where that lies, but we'll continue to dig. Kevin and I are on it, so don't worry about a thing. We'll dig up some stuff and give you all the information as soon as you can. Go over to cornerofthegalaxy.com, though, and you can read my article on Gignac and why perhaps he's a good fit and all sort of the ramifications around his potential signing and movement by Tigres. And by the way, Tigres did go out, and it looks like they're ready to sign somebody to bring in as a replacement. So, you know, they're not selling Gignac. They just got somebody who plays this exact position, and they're going to spend a whole bunch of money on him. So, but he's not going anywhere. Okay, so that move definitely sort of tips a little hat. I think Tigres is playing hard to get, and that's fine. I think the LA Galaxy get this deal done for right around $9.5 million, if you want to know. And if it's under that, I think they've done a good job. Because you're probably going to end up paying him $3 or $4 million a year, is my guess, as a designated player. And then, you know, Tigres is going to get $8.5, $9 million right around there. If that deal happens right now at that, I'm good. I think everybody should go ahead and just go ahead and do that. All right. Let's get on to the LA Galaxy schedule now. We talked about the game coming up on Saturday, Sporting Kansas City. That's fine. June 24th, 7:30 p.m. We're going to talk about that game here in just a couple minutes. The LA Galaxy then have an Open Cup game Wednesday, June 28th against Sacramento Republic. That game will be broadcast on Spectrum Sportsnet and Spectrum Deportes, but I expect all of you to be there at the track stadium and fill that place up. All right, so that's where that is. Then they're going to go July 1st, a Saturday, July 1st game against San Jose Earthquakes up at Stanford Stadium because San Jose is scared of playing at Avaya Stadium against the LA Galaxy. That's my take on things. I don't think that's their official position. Tuesday, July 4th. 3 days later, July 4th game, playing against Real Salt Lake at home, Spectrum Sportsnet, Spectrum Deportes. The scrimmage on July 15th against Manchester United, which still mandates that the LA Galaxy actually play players that they have heard of and that we have heard of. So you're probably going to see some of the guys get a half, 45 minutes, somewhere in there, but that will be a good break for them. I believe that might also be right around the Gold Cup as well. And some of the Gold Cup break that will be happening in that between July 4th and July 19th. July 19th is a Wednesday game at home against Vancouver. Then July 22nd, away to New England, another East Coast trip. Back home Saturday, July 29th, to host the Seattle Sounders. Then away August 6th to face the Timbers. Do you see how rapidly all these games are still coming, Britt? I mean,
it's exhausting just hearing them. So I can't imagine playing in any of them.
And a lot of these are home games, which means that you and I will be at that game and we will be covering those games. And that means a lot of you guys who are listening will be at those games. So, you know, just plan on being at StubHub Center for most of your life here in the next month and a half. The LA Galaxy is still going to have to rely a lot on the depth. So the stuff that you saw in terms of the LA Galaxy and, you know, them rotating players, I certainly think that that is a place that is going to continue to get some focus in terms of who they're going to be playing and when they're going to be playing, all right? Everybody needs to pay attention. Let's see how much rotation we can get. Western Conference standings right now, Sporting Kansas City is first, 27 points, 17 games played. They play the LA Galaxy on Saturday. Houston Dynamo in second, team the LA Galaxy just drew with 24 points. Portland Timbers, 24 points in third place. FC Dallas, fourth in the Western Conference, but first in points per game. Just keep an eye on that, okay? FC Dallas has played 15 games. Sporting Kansas City has played 17 games. Portland has played 17 games. In a little second here, Brittany and I are going to go over some of this stuff that we're going to talk about Sporting Kansas City, and we're going to make some comparisons that might be a little shocking to you. So strap in. It's going to get a little crazy. LA Galaxy in fifth place right now in the Western Conference. Good jump there. Sixth place, the Vancouver Whitecaps currently 20 points just above the red line. You have San Jose, Seattle, Minnesota, Real Salt Lake, and Colorado Rapids all below the red line right now. Maybe Seattle will actually stay there this year. That would be something that I think all LA Galaxy fans could get behind. Other than that, schedule-wise, standings-wise, you know, everything, we're basically at that midway point of the season. The Galaxy are two games behind everybody else. They haven't quite played their 17 games yet, but it's approaching, and 17 games is the midpoint. The LA Galaxy have just pulled even through 15 games with their 2016 counterparts. So this LA Galaxy team is no worse than the team that Bruce Arena put together last year through 15 games. They're exactly the same. Did you ever think that comparison would happen?
No, I didn't. Okay, yes, points are where it matters, and getting those results is where it matters, but I don't know if I could sit here and say that this team is not worse than last year.
I agree with you, but the points, at least, through 15 games have showed us that they are exactly the same. That 15 games, the 2016 LA Galaxy had 22 points. 15 games, the 2017 LA Galaxy have 22 points.
But how many frustrating last-minute draws were there in those first 15 games? Because I remember a lot of those last year.
There was a lot of draws. There was a lot of draws in 2016. Absolutely. No, you're right. It is a different feeling altogether. But as in 2016, I felt like there was just sort of this lull, flat sort of disappointment throughout the year. It was just straight. And in 2017, it has been anger, disappointment, screaming, yelling, breaking things, feeling a little better, right. Feeling a little better, feeling a little better, feeling a little better. Feeling a little worse, feeling a little better. Okay, this team is average. Maybe they're a little better than average. Oh, hey, they're in fifth place in the Western. I mean, they kind of, every time I look at the standings and they're just a little bit higher than I think that they should be, I'm a little more positive about this team because they are giving me things to be positive about, whereas at the beginning of the season, they gave me lots of negative things to be about. So maybe that's the thing. Disappoint me early and then just build me up through the rest of the... Yes? No?
Kind of. I don't know. I don't know if I just got so frustrated with the beginning of the year that as it's going along, I'm expecting to just be frustrated again. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be short-lived. This is going to be short-lived. And maybe I'm just a Debbie Downer and I'm expecting to be disappointed all the time. But
I think that's a life choice that you're making right now. All right.
Probably.
I think that's exactly what that is. So we'll see how the LA Galaxy do as they continue upward on this current trajectory. Their trajectory, it was because there were draws, it flattened out a little bit. And now it seems like it's at a steeper climb because of wins. Wins are steeper than draws, just in case you were graphing it. The wins are steeper than draws, and then losses are flat. All right. Losses are flat. And then win, and then draws are a little up, and then wins are woo, yay. So that's how that all works. Okay, anyway, that's if you go to quarterthegalaxy.com, through 15 games, I have the updated charts and graphs where you can have all the fun with numbers you could possibly ever imagine. Check it out over there. All right, let's go to this game against Sporting Kansas City, a game I have had very little time to prepare for because of all these quick games that have happening. So we will talk about Sporting Kansas City, understanding that they are the best team in the Western Conference as they come to face the LA Galaxy. This game is on Saturday, June 24th, 7:30 p.m. It is Pride Night at StubHub Center, so make sure you get your Pride scarves, your Pride tickets, and then you can bid, I believe, on the Pride jerseys that I think a lot of people are big fans of.
That are amazing looking.
They are pretty awesome, and it's nice to see a community come together around a cause, so everybody can show up and have some fun at the game. It should be a really interesting game. Again, the Sporting Kansas City team is currently first in the Western Conference. We've said that, and we sort of look at it and go, okay, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, what do I feel like this sort of says? When you look at the two teams, clearly Sporting Kansas City up here in first place, oh my God, they're so much better than everybody else. And then the LA Galaxy, oh, they're horrible. They're over here. They're way down, and they're not good at all. When you go and you start comparing these two teams, they're not that far apart. In fact, if you look at the games played, the wins, the losses, I'm going to go over them right now and see how similar these teams are. And we're going to get to the one difference that sort of blows your mind. And then once you understand that, you're sort of, okay, you can see why maybe there's a gap between these two teams. Here's the big difference right now. 15 games played for the LA Galaxy, 17 games played for Sporting Kansas City. Those two games are huge.
Huge.
So that's what you're looking at right now is the difference in those two games is sort of the difference between these two teams. The LA Galaxy have 6 wins. Sporting Kansas City has 7 wins. Okay, not anything big. The LA Galaxy have 5 losses. Sporting Kansas City has 4. There's the difference in that game right there. So that's how it goes. The draws. Sporting Kansas City has 2 more draws than the LA Galaxy. Okay, so that's not much, but they have 2 more games, so you would sort of expect it. So they're 1 win better, and they played 2 more games, and they got 2 draws out of them. I mean, you're not talking, you know, acres of space here. The LA Galaxy have scored 24 goals. Sporting Kansas City has scored 20 goals. So the LA Galaxy are more offensive team than Sporting Kansas City. take that and sit and think about it for a while in a dark room, perhaps. All right. This is because it gets a little crazy. But here is where you can see the difference and sort of where it's affected the LA Galaxy. Goals conceded, 22 goals conceded for the LA Galaxy, 11 goals conceded for Sporting Kansas City. Very good defensive team. So, I mean, that's sort of where you sit on these two teams. But what do you see with Sporting Kansas City whenever you think that they're coming into StubHub Center?
I mean, they have a lot of good, I want to say local players. They have a good mix, I think, and the Dom Dwyers, the Graham Soucy's, that they have a good group, and I mean they definitely have good support at home, so it's nice for them to be on the road where they don't necessarily have that. But I think the kicker for me this week is the Galaxy's busy schedule and how Kansas City didn't have a Wednesday game this week.
Yeah, they had a Wednesday off, so they didn't have any of that. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at some of the players that obviously the Sporting Kansas City have: Benny Failhaber, Dom Dwyer. You have, you know, Ike Opara. That back line with Beisler and Opara and Zusi and Sinovic. That's a good back line. Yep. And then you have Melia in goal. That's a solid back five.
And that's where that goal differential comes from.
Yeah, it's huge. It's double. Yeah. I mean, this is a very good defensive team for Sporting Kansas City. I will tell you this, you know, there's certainly something to a lot of what people are saying, that the LA Galaxy don't play well at home. You're looking for them to bounce back. You can expect that Jermaine Jones and Daniel Starris could be available for this game. So don't be surprised if you go out there and you see that Jermaine Jones is on the bench, or that Daniel Starris is on the bench, or that Daniel Starris is starting. Daniel Starris is starting.
Jermaine Jones is on week 7 of 3 to 4 weeks of being injured, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is, and they've been training off to the side, so it's all a matter of whether or not they can get in, and whether or not they have fresh enough legs, whether or not they're healthy. I mean, this comes down to, have you ever seen during training the guys wear those like sports bras? They're like little black sports bras.
Like the heart monitors,
they
right?
have the heart monitors. Yeah, that's right.
I have a background in this, yes.
Yes, yes. So anyway, I was going to say, hey, those aren't sports bras. You know, we could actually talk about them. But no, they're little.
Your punchline.
Yes, yes, you did.
Sorry, not sorry.
No, yeah, exactly. So anyway, so they have these heart monitors that they get to wear at training. It helps them. And it helps the trainers and some other tests that they do actually tell what their recovery time is and how ready they are for another 90-minute performance and all these different things. And so that data is given to Kurt Anolfo and the rest of the coaching staff to sort of be able to say, hey, look, this guy is not recovering very well from the last game. Maybe we should look at not starting him. Maybe he should come off the bench. Look at Roman Alessandrini. You were able to give him a rest. That was important because you certainly expect Roman Alessandrini is going to play all 90 minutes, you know, against Sporting Kansas City on Saturday. So these are the sort of things that are going to come into play, and that's why predicting lineups within this stretch of games is going to be nearly impossible, because you have to imagine that Kurt is going to do his absolute best to sort of merge and twist and turn and rest guys and change up the lineup. I mean, you know, what do you think? The Galaxy are playing at home. What are they, 1-3-3 at home?
Something like that, yeah.
They're horrible. Yes. They have the worst home record in Major League Soccer.
And I'm concerned about that getting into the players' heads, getting in Anolfo's head, and they're going to be trying so hard to break that they're not going to think about simple things that they could have done. Like, I think that's going to be their focus, when really, if you just treat it like any other game, like any other game on the road, then it would be as big of a deal.
Yeah, and maybe that's it. Maybe they do have to, maybe there's something, maybe we should put them up in hotels. Maybe that's what should, maybe when they come onto the field, everybody should be wearing that Smurf blue, that light blue. No, I can't do that. No, nobody can do that. That's a horrible idea. Anyway, but yeah, the LA Galaxy taking on Sporting Kansas City. Okay, then let's make sure we get our predictions in. Predictions sure to be wrong. You always have to make sure you make it as specific as possible, so even if you get it right, you're still probably wrong.
Oh, thanks.
So what did the LA Galaxy do in this game? Do they keep the eight game unbeaten streak? Who scores the goals? Who doesn't score the goals? Tell me who you think for the LA Galaxy and what happens.
Thanks for not prepping me on this one. So first thing to my mind is probably a 2-2 draw. I'm going to say Alessandrini and an own goal.
Ooh, own goal.
And then Kansas City people.
And then Kansas City people.
And then
score?
Kansas City people.
Okay, that's fine. No, that works. I would never expect you to, you know, you could say Dom Dwyer. I mean, he's going to score goals, right?
He is.
So that's one of those things. I think the matchup here is going to be really interesting in terms of Dwyer in the back line of the LA Galaxy, because he has been a thorn in their side before. He's a difficult player to play against. Let's see if Yelavon Dom, who I didn't think played particularly well against Colorado, but didn't need to play great. So let's see if Yella can sort of bounce back.
He looked really tired in that U.S. Open Cup game against Orange County. And so I don't know if it's a fitness thing. I mean, he did just come back from Belgium, so like a couple days before that game. So hopefully he's had more time to train. Not that they've had a whole lot of training time with the schedule, but hopefully he's getting that fitness back.
Yeah, so you're going to want to watch that. I say that the LA Galaxy are, this is always hard. I always feel like they have so much momentum coming off these road wins, and they come and just play absolute flat at home. Maybe it's the lighting effects that everybody apparently hates. I don't know what...
I don't hate them.
I don't hate them either. I think they're a lot of fun, especially after goals. I think that's the best part. Plus, against Houston, you know how many Houston fans got flashbacks of the blackout game back in 2009? 2010? 2009? 2011, maybe?
I want to say... It was playoffs. I would say 2009 is my best guess.
It might have been two. I may have been 2011. It may have been an MLS Cup year where we scared them out of. No, I don't think so. I think it was 2009, the blackout game. Anyway, there was a blackout game. If you weren't there, you don't remember. But it was a lot of fun, and they still get flashbacks. And I still think the LA Galaxy should hand out flashlights the next time the Houston comes to town, just to remind them of that game. That's my only thing. All right. Yeah. Ed from Squadcast doesn't like the lighting effects. He thinks they're terrible, by the way. And he's told me that on Twitter. I disagree like 120 billion%. I even liked it when they turned the lights out while they were playing against Chicago. Like while the ball was actually, that was the best way to turn the lights off.
I hated it. Nope. I hated that.
Yeah. Well, they got better.
Well,
it
made me laugh because they hadn't had a goal in so long since they set up that technology that they didn't know exactly when to push the button.
Oh, so it was acknowledgement like... of the fact that they hadn't scored, that yes. That was the problem. Okay, no problems. I understand that. All right. Ed, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. They're just lights that go on and off. It's not, if you want, you can like turn on your cell phone and it provides light for you. You don't have to be scared. It's all good. All right. So I think that about does it for us. We've had a wonderful, nice show. Britt's been in the studio with us, so that's certainly always a positive and a plus. LA Galaxy have a bunch of games still coming up. We have a bunch of podcasts still coming up for you as well. We'll have a Monday podcast that, of course, will recap this Sporting Kansas City game and get you ready for the U.S. Open Cup game. We'll have another Thursday live show coming up next week. So a lot of stuff still coming down the pipe for Corner of the Galaxy here and covering all the LA Galaxy news and information. And as news breaks... we, of course, will be right here for you at cornerofthegalaxy.com, so make sure you check that out as well. Britt, you want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Yes. So I, on Twitter, I am Britt, B-R-I-T-T, 3 underscores, yes, 3, J-O. So follow me there. Writing for Total MLS every once in a while, writing for Corner of the Galaxy as well, so... feel free to follow.
I'm stealing Britt slowly. She's going to keep writing more and more, so that way I don't have to write so much, and you guys can, of course, get rid of me all that much sooner. All right. If you're looking for me on Twitter, it's at Jay Guessman, J-G-U-E-S-M-A-N, and, of course, you can head on over to at Galaxy Podcast. That's where all of our wonderful Galaxy news usually gets broken, right there, and, of course, Corner of the Galaxy. .com. The Sporting Kansas City and LA Galaxy play on Saturday. See everybody there. Pride night, 7:30 p.m. kickoff. Spectrum Sportsnet, Spectrum Deportes, all good. Thank you very, very much for joining us. For Britt Pergel, I'm Josh Guessman, and you've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Have a great one, everybody.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast, and be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.